All right, nice to have you back with us as we get ready for baseball tonight. The first place San Francisco Giants take on the first place Atlanta Braves in the National League East. The Braves are having a great month. They could, if they win them all, but to the end of the month, they'll tie a record, a franchise record of wins in the month of August. So we'll see how that turns out. But Logan Webb on the hill for the Giants and Huascar Ynoa for the Atlanta Braves. Joining us now is Mark Bowman. Love having Mark on. He covers the Braves for MLB.com. Mark, how are you?
Great. How are you, Marty?
Well, we're doing fine and glad to have you on and talk about this Braves team. And, you know, 2 months ago, you wouldn't have given a plug nickel for the Braves, and all of a sudden now they're the hottest team in the league.
Yeah, maybe even a month ago. You know, everything changed there after the All-Star break with the acquisition of Jock Peterson, and they continue that with on the trade deadline day, going out and getting Adam Duvall and Jorge Soler, two more outfielders that have helped compensate for the loss of Ronald Acuna Jr. And then, you know, their bullpen has gotten better, too, with the acquisition of Rich Rodriguez. You've got to give Alex Anthopoulos a lot of credit for what he did over those 2 weeks. The final 2 weeks in July, basically, the 2 weeks of business that followed Ronald Acuna getting hurt.
Let me ask you about the closer, Will Smith. Of course, we know him so well and is one of our favorites out here, who's on the show a lot. But I watch some of these games, Mark, and, you know, he's lucky to get away with it. And can he be the closer for this team down the stretch?
Well, right now, I'd say, you know, he's certainly not the best reliever on the team right now. Is he the best fit for the closer? I think so in some ways, just because Tyler Matzek has been so valuable getting that big out, whether it's the seventh or eighth inning, going out and getting that big left-handed hitter, getting those big outs and getting to the ninth inning has been so important. You also have Luke Jackson, who has some experience in the closing role. You got to give him a lot of credit for the turnaround he's had this year. I think both those guys would be capable closers, but at the same time, now you've got a gap in that seventh, eighth inning. Who's going to go and get those outs? I think what you have to hope is that it will turn things around. That last year in San Francisco, his homer rate started to go up. It wasn't too alarming. Then last year in that shortened season, you know, you saw it really go up, and you blamed it on COVID or him getting, quote, COVID and not being able to throw the whole month of July. Now he went through a good bit of this season avoiding the homer troubles, but he's given up five homers the last 50 batters he's faced and three to the past 21. That's been the biggest issue. I mean, there have been some spurts where he's given up a bunch of base hits here and there, but for the most part, his problems have been when he hasn't been able to keep the ball in the park.
No, he gives up the home run. What do you think of the end of the game last night with the catch?
I'll be honest. From my angle, I couldn't tell what happened. I thought that it hit off the top of that green portion there, that wall that Jock went to, and then obviously when he comes to the ground, you don't think he's going to be able to hold on to that. So incredible catch, and that just, you know, that was the story last night. You get a home run from Adam Duvall, big one, go ahead homer from Jorge Soler, and Jock Peterson, you know, has the game saving catch, and those three guys weren't a member of this club just a month ago, Peterson came along 6 weeks ago, but you know. Over these last 6 weeks, this is a completely different club because of the moves that were made.
Yeah, these two teams go right at it. Let's bring in Bill Lasky to talk with Mark. Bill, last night for me, watching Will Smith in the ninth inning, I said, I almost tweeted it out. I stopped myself. I said, you know, he has trouble keeping the ball in the park, and sure enough, Flores hit it, and there it went. Will Smith just hung on.
You know, Marty, you and I were texting yesterday, and another thing you said was his command and control, and you're absolutely right there. He struggled getting ahead of hitters, and I want to ask Mark, is this a problem that could they go to Rodriguez possibly as being the closer now that they picked him up from the Pirates?
I mean, I think eventually that's probably the one guy you go to. That kind of fixes that problem where I'm saying I want Matzek available to get that big left-hander out at some point in the seventh or eighth inning. You know, if that comes down in the ninth inning, maybe. But, it, you know, eventually you're going to see, say, your playing the Phillies, you know, Bryce Harper's going to come up at some point in that 7th or 8th inning. I'd rather have Matzik available for that inning. And, you know, while Rodriguez is not going to be – he hasn't been as dominant as he was those first six to eight weeks with the Pirates. He has been very consistent, and I think he would become the better option than Will Smith if the home run troubles continue. But the good thing for the Braves is they've got a little bit of cushion here in the division. You know, they were able to hold on and win a game last night. But you don't want to get too far into September continuing to lean on him, on Will Smith, if there's no clear cut sign that the home run problems are going to diminish. So Rich Rodriguez would be the guy that I think he would turn to.
Mark Bowman with us of MLB.com. Maybe better explain to the audience about Tyler Matzik, because he's got numbers against – he's a lefty. And, Bill, you'll appreciate this. He's a lefty. Right-handed hitters are hitting 020 against him in the last 62 at-bats. 020. Yeah. Mark, what's the story here?
Well, I mean, maybe some Giants fans remember a guy named Tyler Matzik. He was a big prospect for the Rockies. You know, he comes out, he has some success as a starter in 2014, comes to camp in 2015, develops the yips. And just all of a sudden now he can't throw a strike, can't get back to the major. He develops anxiety, depression, bounces around, goes to independent ball, is pitching independent ball late in 2019. The Braves take a chance on him, have him pitch in AAA for that final month of that season. They bring him to camp last year. And from a personal level, just we're at the Red Sox place there last year, first or second week of games, and all of a sudden, here comes this left-hander. They bring him in. You know, here's how he's used. He's just an extra that day. They bring him out just to finish off an inning of, you know, a starter who struggled, and he strikes out the side. And you say, who is this? You know, and then you look it up, and you say, he's pitched before, and then they keep bringing him over. But, dude, remember, you know, camp only, the season only lasted, what, you know, 15 games last year or whatever. So it was short, right when it looked like they might bring him over to big league camp for good, you know, camp shut down. And then when they were discussing who was going to be invited to what did we call it last year, the summer camp or whatever, there in July, they were Snicker had to tell Alex, hey, what about that lefty? He couldn't remember his name. He said, what about that lefty? And so they invite him, and obviously last year he proved to be one of the game's top relievers. This year he has had a lot of success. And to his credit, he was one of those guys that had to make a big adjustment when they took away the sunscreen and rosin. And if you look there in late June, you'll see some control problems. But by mid-July, he altered his grip. And once again, I'd put him up there amongst the game's best right now.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, you know, most of the NL West has played the NL East so far, except for the Braves. Now, the Braves, after the Giants series, are coming out west to play the Dodgers and then Colorado. And, again, they have to come back and play San Diego and San Francisco. A tough schedule ahead for Atlanta, especially when you're trying to win the NL East. What do you see about these matchups against the NL West as we get through August into September?
No, very important. That's why, you know, they had this stretch right before this. Right now they're in an 8-game stretch where they play 2 against the Yankees and these 3 against the Giants, 3 against the Dodgers. Right before that, they had the 9-game stretch against the Nationals, Marlins, and Orioles. They went 9-0 in that stretch. That's very important because you didn't know what was going to happen here. You know, yes, they are going to have to win some of these games, not only to win a division, but also to have any sense of confidence going into October. But yeah, this is a very challenging portion of the schedule. They're, you know, they are at their best right now. It's tough to say that without Acuna, but you know, as many pieces as they have together now with Ian Anderson back, coming back tomorrow, and Travis d'Arnaud back, the more outfield depth than they had when they had Acuna, because they had to go out and get so many guys to compensate for his absence. And you've got Austin Riley hitting as well as anybody in the second half of the season. This is a pretty good team itself, and I think it's up to the challenge it will face. But we will learn a little bit more about how good this team is as it goes through this the gauntlet that is the NL West throughout much of September.
Well, they have six starting pitchers. Are they going to go with a six-man rotation?
I think so. You know, I asked Ned about it the last 2 days. He won't commit to it, but I think at least for this week it makes sense. You know, there are no off days till September 6th. You know, you've got Coors Field coming up next weekend. I think that you go Smiley, Morton, and Freed against the Dodgers and then allow Tukey to go ahead and start the first game at Coors Field on Thursday. You know, you got Charlie Morton who's done this for a long time, and you've got young guys like Oscar and Noah and Anderson, who I've already gotten a break, but even a guy like Max Fried who hasn't done. I don't care what point in your career you are. Nobody went through a 162-game schedule last year, so I think having an extra off day here or there for anyone is going to be beneficial this year.
Hey, Mark, the Indians gave up Eddie Rosario, but he was on the IL. The Braves picked him up at the trade deadline. When is he going to be active, and what part of the rotation or what part of the roster will he fill?
You know, he was activated yesterday. He'll basically just be a bench bat. You know, he was traded for Pablo Sandoval, who was cut, you know, immediately by the Indians. I think the Braves just said, hey, you know, the Indians were looking to play their young guys, save a little bit of money down the stretch here. Rosario, he can do more than Pablo could off the bench, or has more capabilities to help you off the bench, and then obviously to play one of the corner outfield positions here and there when necessary. But I don't look to see him in the lineup too often. I primarily see him as a bench player.
Well, he was really hot at AAA, and I know he forced his way back up to the big league, so we'll see him at some point. He'll get a shot because he showed he could still hit down at Gwinnett. What about the guy tonight, Enoa? It's a fascinating story. He can hit, and his splits, the reverse splits, the lefties and righties, you know, you think all of a sudden lefties 174 against him and righties 231 with eight homers, lefty no homers. He's a fastball slider guy. I saw him pitch. I like him, but he broke his hand, and now he's back. So tell us what we could expect from this guy tonight.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's been the surprise of the season. I really would like to see, you know, where his numbers would be right now had he not broken his hand. Everything happened for a reason, though. You know, it was one of his few bad starts he had there in the first 6 weeks of the season. He got upset, punched the bench at in Milwaukee, and you know, suffered the consequences of having to miss 3 months of the season. But yeah, these first two starts he's been back, he's looked really good. 9 strikeouts against the Yankees the other night, and you know, he looks like he's back to himself. You're going to see a lot of sliders. You're going to see probably 45% sliders and, you know, 35-40% fastball. It's a good slider, and it's an electric fastball. I mean, to the point that I thought he'd probably profile best as a reliever. As he continues to develop more of a two-seamer and a cutter, you can see why he's not only having success right now, but might continue to have success in the starting role. So, this guy, I would say right now, if the postseason was starting, he would be one of your top three or four starters on this club.
Hey, Mark, this team's really aggressive when they get on the bases. 72 bases they've tried to attempt stealing, and they've only been caught 18 times. Is this something that Ron Washington likes to get those runners moving, and is this something to look forward to with the Braves as they compete for the NL East?
Yeah, I think they are aggressive on the base pass. You know, when you talk about stolen bases, and those of you from the Bay Area are very familiar with Wash's windmill. It only goes in one direction. That stop sign doesn't work too often. But anyhow, no. I mean, they are very aggressive running the bases. You know, never with a little bit more, a few more power sources in their lineup. They might not steal as frequently down the stretch now, but at the same time, yeah, they that's how they try to compensate for their lack of power throughout much of the season, just with aggressive base running. And they've got the guys that can still do it. You know, Ozzie Albies can do a lot of stuff on the bases, and you know, Dansby Swanson has great speed as well. So it's a there's some guys that can do more than just supply power. And what Dansby's done, not only with his legs and his glove, but to look at him heading towards the 30 homer season, that's pretty impressive.
Well, this is still Freddie Freeman's team, isn't it?
It is. It is. It should be Freddie Freeman's team for a long time. So, but we're going to have to see what happens this winter. I'm obviously pretty shocked that nothing's been done yet with contract wise. But I would expect Freddie and the team to get together here soon after the season ends and get something done, because it would be very weird seeing Freddie anywhere else but a Braves uniform.
Hey, Mark, was it kind of strange bringing back Adam Duvall after he was non-tendered last year? He goes to Miami, signs a two-year deal, and all of a sudden back with the Braves. I know the Brave fans love him. He hits home runs there. Is this somebody that they could possibly pick up? Because he has a club option for next year at $3 million.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt he could come back next year. I really think that $7.5 million is the option, the buyout, three. But, yeah, definitely he could come back next year. In all honesty, he probably should have never left. They were a little bit – even when they non-tendered him, they talked about bringing him back. And there was he had interest in coming back at a lower cost. I think they would have done it had they been able to get the deal done with Jock Peterson. And they were going to platoon Peterson and Duvall. And then now all of a sudden you come to the trade deadline. They weren't able to get the deal done with Peterson. And Duvall probably could have done that for, let's just throw out a cost of $11, $12 million per year. They end up reluctantly signing Marcell Ozuna. And, obviously we know what's happened since then. Marcell may never again play for this organization after the domestic violence arrest. But I think if they could have had it go in reverse, go back to December, January, they would have signed Duvall and Peterson and started out this way, and they probably would have had a lineup of Acuna. Eventually, once Christian Pache had struggled there early in the season, they could have just immediately gone to an outfielder, Duvall, Peterson, and Acuna.
Boy, it's interesting. It's great having you on, Mark. The Braves are a big story. They're second in the National League in attendance, just behind the Dodgers, and they're having a great August. And heck, I can't wait to see this game tonight. I thought the game last night was compelling baseball. So it's Logan Webb and Waskar Enoa. So it should be a good one. Mark, thanks for being on with us, and we love catching up with you. And we'll see you when you get out here.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Look forward to it, guys. You guys take care.
Okay, anytime. That is Mark Bowman, MLB.com.